All right, so we'll go ahead. Let me see. I think we need one more person for a quorum.
Thank you.
Oh, actually, I think we're good. We have three. Okay, excellent. Okay, so I will call this meeting to order. Let's do a roll call vote. Jason Ryman.
Present.
Thank you, Jason. Wiling Huber.
Present.
Thank you. And Josefina Alvarado Mena, present here for the record. Romy, would you mind projecting our meeting norms and our land acknowledgement? And I'm going to ask my fellow board members if anyone would like to volunteer to read these tonight.
Are you seeing my screen okay?
Yes.
I'm not projecting my husband this time.
Not this time.
I'm happy to. Do you want me to read both or one?
Jason, do you want to split it with Wiling or?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, go ahead, Wiling.
All right. The board recognizes the importance of all stakeholder voices at OSA. Collaboration and community are essential to the viability of our school. The purpose of this meeting is for our board of directors to meet with each other and conduct school business, as well as to receive input from the school staff and the community via public comment. Public comment may be made on topics that relate to the school. After hearing a report, members of the community have the opportunity to offer comments in the designated time period to the board discussion of that agenda item, prior to the board discussion of that agenda item. Outside of public comment, members of the public are also welcome to observe the meeting. Please use the raise hand function to make public comment. If you cannot use the raise hand function, you can sign up for public comment in the chat. We want to be sure to see all the signups, so keeping that the chat clear when public comment signups are being called for is appreciated. You may sign up for public comment at any time prior to the conclusion of public comment for that agenda item. You do not need to wait for public comment to be called to sign up and may sign up for public comment during the presentation of the report or at any time prior. You are not required to include your name with the comment. If you wish to remain anonymous, for the ease of identifying speakers, please provide a unique and appropriate pseudonym. Due to student and employee privacy laws, please refrain from using the name or any information that could imply the identity of a student or employee. Public comment will be capped at the 90 seconds per speaker. To be sure of hearing from a variety of people, minutes may not be transferred to another speaker. The board cannot respond to public comment on the non-agenda items. This does not mean that the board is not listening. Staff will do our best to respond to chat comments throughout the meeting, but may not be able to respond to every single one. To be sure your comments are heard by board members, please sign up for public comment. If the comment thread becomes harassing or abusive, I'd miss the last words, but sorry, thank you, or includes any information that could imply the identity of any student or employee, staff reserves the right to turn off the chat feature at its discretion. We strive to be a learning community that learns from each other. We are also a community comprised of people who care deeply about the school. We recognize that voices are not treated equally in our society, but aim to value and respect all voices equally in this forum. We may have different ideas on how to achieve goals, and we may feel passionately about our points of view. This needs to be a safe space for a variety of opinions. Finally, we address each other in a respectful manner to foster collaboration, build community, and to model good citizenship for our students. For clarification on the recording, board members should please state their names prior to speaking. The meeting is being recorded, and the audio is posted on the school website.
OSA land acknowledgement. OSA is situated on Huichen, the unceded territories of the Xochenyo speaking Lishan Ohlone peoples, who have lived upon this land since the beginning of time. Indigenous peoples in California, the Americas, and around the world are still here. OSA recognizes the historic genocide and ethnic cleansing inflicted upon Indigenous peoples in California and the Americas, including their forced removal from ancestral lands and the deliberate and systematic destruction of their communities and culture. These conditions are ongoing, and Indigenous peoples have been fighting against cultural erasure for their sovereignty since the beginning of colonization. To this end, we as a community strive to honor the Indigenous members of our community, uplift their voices and contributions to the arts and culture, center Indigenous peoples' worldviews in our classrooms, and support Indigenous sovereignty everywhere. This land acknowledgement is a small act in supporting Indigenous communities and centering the justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion work within the Oakland School for the Arts. Solidarity with Indigenous nations can include donating time and money to Indigenous-led organizations, amplifying the voices of Indigenous people, leading grassroots change movements, and returning land.
Great. Thank you both for that. We'll go back to our agenda, and we're going to start with public comment on non-agenda items. Do we have any public comment on non-agenda items? Okay, I don't see any, so we'll move right along to the consent agenda. Do we have a motion to, well, let's do public comment on the consent agenda. Do we have any public comment on the consent agenda? Okay, I don't hear or see any. So then let's go to any board discussion, and I'll entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Motion to accept the consent agenda.
Thank you, Jason. And do we have a second?
I second.
I'll second. Oh, okay. Thanks, Josefina. I'm sorry. Thank you, Link. Sorry about that.
Yeah, great.
Okay, so let's take a vote. We'll start with you, Dwayne.
Yes.
Thank you. Jason?
Yes.
Thank you. Wiling?
Yes.
Thank you. I don't think we have Sophia with us yet. So, but the motion carries. Oh, let me do my vote. Josefina Alvarado Mena, I also vote yes. So the consent agenda passes. We're going to make a slight agenda change. Dwayne has a hard stop today. So we're going to move the governance committee report up before the LCAP vote and the budget vote to make sure we can get through that item. So I'm going to turn it over to Jason, I believe, to introduce the item, and then we'll take public comment.
Sure. As the board and community knows, over the past several months, the Oakland School for the Arts Governance Committee, alongside of the School for the Arts leadership team and school board, has been working to recruit new members for the school board. This is to bring us to a number that is commensurate with the number of board members that are needed on an ongoing basis to do the work of a school of our size and with the needs that it has. So I just wanted to take a few moments before Dwayne gets into the nuts and bolts and the meat of the work to bring in any questions, comments, ideas, or thoughts that we may have from the board or from the community regarding this process, any thoughts or ideas that people may want to bring forward at this time. Provide that space.
So Jason, did you want to do public comment now, or do you want to?
Sure, that sounds good. I see we do have a public comment.
All right, Karen Morfin.
Hi, everyone. Couple of things. I think as you guys think about recruitment for the board, I want to just emphasize the needs that we currently have. I think the board really needs to look for somebody that has fundraising experience. And that goes also hand to hand with community building. I really believe that we have OSA, unfortunately, is not known to be big on bonding, parent, family, administration, kind of like community, right? It's always been, in a way, white supremacy based, a history of discrimination in other areas. Nonetheless, I feel we're at a point at the board and at administration where we see the light of change. And we feel that this board is very diverse, very embedded into OSA mission. And I also believe that it's so small that it'll become a burden for you guys. So as we move forward, I think we need to reach out to people with plenty of, you know, either philanthropy, fundraising, public face, whether it's in the arts or simply for fundraising, that's another story. But we really lack those resources. We lack that experience at the administration level at OSA. And I also don't see that being a strong asset at the current board, right? You guys have different specialties, but I'm afraid that we may spread out to thing. As far as recruiting, I mean, you know, there are great POC organizations that we can start reaching out, leadership, you know, Latinx, you know, Black empowerment. You know, we can build liaisons with a lot of nonprofits that are successful at this. You know, Brother Cafre with Hip Hop for Change. You know, we have people of Conservatory, Destiny Arts. Where are they getting their people and their funding? And, you know, there are so many places that locally we can look at and still maintain a level of diversity that we want to continue to hold at the board level in administration. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Karen. Do we have any more public comment? So should we go back to the board discussion? Dwayne, Jason?
Dwayne, go ahead.
I was gonna say, you know, you're doing great. Jason, I didn't know. I mean, if there's no more public comment, I think in terms of, you know, we would be just bringing the slate forward, Josefina. I would assume if you would, if we're ready for that, again, if there's no more public comment, because we just want to make sure, you know, the community, the OSA leadership team, you know, are make sure their voice is heard again. If there's no other public comment from anyone, you know, we can, you know, bring the slate forward and then we can just vote individually. So we're not voting individuals as a full slate, but we'd be looking at of the four individuals, we would just take them individually and then we would vote as a board. And then based on that, you know, they would be recorded for, you know, to join the board effective, you know, August of this year. So that's just sort of kind of the process for anyone that may not be kind of as familiar with, you know, what we're intending to do.
Okay.
Before we do that, I was just going to ask, Dwayne, I don't know if you have any interest in sharing the process that we went through in terms of assessing the needs for the board, as well as, you know, assessing those needs and how they're filled by the slate that we're bringing forward.
I'm happy to do so. So, you know, both. So we started this process, you know, I guess we probably started the process, you know, even at the beginning of our board, you know, year this past year. But formally, you know, in February, in terms of kind of looking at kind of what the board profile is, those may or may not know, the board has kind of shifted, you know, individuals had to step away for various reasons over this past year. But we did take a profile assessment of the current board, so the five members. And so I'm happy to say, you know, we were able to complete that, you know, by getting all individual skill sets. So we went out and asked each individual to evaluate based on their skills, their expertise, whether it's in the industry, whether it's their experience. And we captured that information. Just to kind of highlight, because I didn't know if we were going to go into the level of detail, but just to highlight for the community, we were very strong in DE&I, meaning there were four or five individuals on the board that had experience as well as expertise in DE&I. We had two individuals that had experience both in the governance sector. So we were about, keep in mind, of five existing board members. No, we're talking about two and three, so it's not large numbers, but we had more than one individual across multiple components. So DE&I being the heaviest, governance, strategic planning, we had two individuals in human resources, and then we had two individuals that identify by experiential or their experience in terms of how they've navigated both their career and then just their own journey. And then we had, you know, one or two where it came into negotiations, union work. So again, that's where we were the shortest. So that was the evaluation we did as a board. And then we worked with Mike and then just the larger board to say where we want to go in the next 2 to 3 years. What are those things that we need? So what surfaced was facilities, finance, and Jason, forgive me, because I forwarded you that document. If you have that document up, we can, that's on that first tab in terms of, but I know it was facilities, it was finance. Arts. We wanted an individual that also had access to the arts community. There were two others, forgive me, Jason, if you have them up. But what I can say is for the candidates we're going to bring forward to the community, we were able to fill three of those top five skill sets. I believe that was Paulina, you know, that spoke and talk about, you know, kind of what we need as a community. We did do that evaluation. So I want the community and the OSA leadership to know we put in sufficient time to kind of think about, you know, that, not just where we are today, but where we want to be tomorrow and how we're going to get there and what those skill sets are to do that. So of the four individuals we're going to put forward, I can say one individual leads, is COO of finance, you know, for industry. Another individual is a director and owner of both a public and private art installation, allowing, you know, access potentially for our students to have both internships and get real experience around, you know, the visual arts, you know, specifically. We have two individuals that are strong in the nonprofit sector. So I do believe, and we have another candidate that is with help with our facilities. You know, there's been a number of discussions around, you know, finding locations, you know, for OSA so that, you know, we've outgrown, you know, the current campus, you know, that we have. So we have an individual that has shared openly whether or not they are on the board or need to work, you know, separately as a subcommittee. Their commitment is to try to find real estate so that OSA can really have a campus to allow, you know, the school to continue to thrive. So this is me. This is how close, you know, Jason and I have been spending on this. I'm just speaking just from what I know off the top of my head. And I think I probably covered 80 to 90% of it without, you know, having the information in front of me. But I just, again, my main goal with this process is to ensure or hope that the community, the OSA leadership has faith in terms of the rigor, the process that we've put in place and what we're going to, you know, put before you over the next, you know, few minutes. So Jason, anything else?
Dwayne, did you want me to share the document that you were speaking about recently?
I don't know. Mike, Josefina, I'm open for feedback. Again, everything we've created, it's public record, but whatever, you know, is needed, I want to be, you know, sensitive to time as well.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the document. We can show the document. But I also wanted just to take a break and introduce Carol Suarez to our meeting. Carol was recently elected by her peers and then added to the board by us as the student of color representative to the OSA board. So welcome, Carol. We're happy to have you with us for this meeting. Your term will officially start in August, but thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Welcome. So Jason, if you would go to the first tab, please. Because this is where I mentioned, you know, again, 100% completion in terms of the existing board. So you can see there were five areas, or the exercise was to identify, you know, your top five areas of strength, expertise. I will just say, I don't think it's in any ranked order, but I did take the liberty. So as information came back to me, I tried to group it to make it easier visually for individuals to kind of see, you know, where we are significantly strong and then where, you know, we are lighter, you know, in other areas. So I did move things around. But again, this is representative of what your existing board is. So I think I captured most of this. Advocacy, public policy, I think that's one I failed to sort of kind of highlight. Strategic planning, I covered. You know, we have three of the five, again, four of the five in diversity, equity, and inclusion. I think that's only going to continue to strengthen. based on the existing slate and then what we look to do in the future. And I'll just take a minute to say our bylaws give us an opportunity to, at our max, I don't even know if we've ever achieved that over the, you know, over the history of OSA, but our max board members are 15. We're currently running at 5. We are presenting 4 to you with always being very open and understanding that we should always give ourselves an opportunity of give candidates based on what the community puts forward or recommends, based on what the OSA leadership team puts forward or recommends. We would always allow ourselves, you know, capacity to evaluate those individuals and sort of bring them on in a rolling seat capacity, you know, as our bylaws permit. So by all means, we are nowhere near the max capacity of what we're, of what our bylaws allow us to be at. And we're always, you know, want to make sure we continue to kind of pivot based on the needs of the community. So I'll pause to see if there's any other questions or comments from the board or community.
No, and just to, I put this in the chat, but just to clarify the process, since we will be voting individually on each of the board nominations, we will have to take public comment before they each vote. But that's how we'll proceed with the process. So anything else before we, I think we have a slide with the nominees. So we'll take, I'll take a motion on the first candidate.
So I'll make a motion, you know, that we vote on Amy Ullman as a board candidate for this August start period.
Thank you, Duane. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. And let's take public comment on this. Do we have any public comment on Amy Amand? Okay, I don't see any public comment. Do we have any board discussion, any more board discussion on Amy Amand? Okay, so we'll do the roll call vote. Wai-Ling Huber?
Yes.
Thank you. Dwayne Walton?
Yes.
Thank you. Jason Ryman?
Yes.
Thank you. And Josefina Alvarado Mena, I will vote yes as well. We'll go to the next candidate. So Isaac Abid, my apologies if I am mispronouncing anybody's name. Do we have a motion for Isaac?
I'll make a motion to vote to add Isaac Abid to the board.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second. This is Dwayne.
Thank you, Dwayne. Do we have any public comment on Isaac? Okay, no public comment. Do we have any board discussion on Isaac's nomination? Okay, we'll do the roll call vote. Jason Ryman?
Yes.
Thank you. Dwayne Walton?
Yes.
Thank you. Wai-Ling Huber?
Yes.
Thank you. And Josefina Alvarado Mena, I will also vote yes for this candidate. Our next candidate is Maury Rorden. Do we have a motion for Maury's candidacy?
All motion for Maury Rorden.
Thank you.
He voted on as a candidate.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Wai-Ling. Do we have any public comment on Maury's candidacy? No? Okay, so we'll call the roll call vote. We'll start with Wai-Ling Huber.
Yes.
Thank you. Jason Ryman.
Yes.
Thank you. Dwayne Walton.
I'm going to abstain.
And Josefina Alvarado Mena, I'm going to also abstain on this vote. Do we have Sophia with us? We do not have Sophia with us at this meeting. Do we want to have any more board discussion on this candidate?
Well, I will say, so yes, I guess to answer your question regarding board discussion, the reason I was abstaining because I felt it was going to carry. So just, as sort of kind of putting the slate together and I was abstaining, assuming that we would be able to carry, Morey forward. But I was also anticipating, having sort of full board anticipation as well, Josefina. But if we are open to, I guess, sort of kind of do a revote after our discussion, so I can be able to break that the impasse. Yeah, if we don't get Sophia on the line.
Okay, I don't know. Romy, do you know if Sophia's going to be joining us?
She has not RSVP'd one way or the other for this meeting.
Okay. So
Okay.
I have a comment, but do I hear correctly that we have two yeses and two abstentions, or
that is correct. Yes.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I'll just make a comment in favor of Maury. I've known Maury now for 4 years well. Knew him a little bit for longer than that, because we've been working on the APT together. And I was the co-president of the APT prior to Maury being the co-president of the APT. And, just as a leader in our community, I can't say enough about what a really superstar he is in terms of, the work he does, 30 years of advocacy for people with AIDS, for transgender folks, right now is really who are really in the battle for their lives, literally, all over the country. And he's running around helping small organizations that are mostly, mostly led and run by transgender people of color, really get off their feet and be able to, fight against these terrible laws that are coming down in places like Texas and Georgia. And, he's just an incredible leader. And there's a great bio of him on the SF Pride website, because he was a Grand Marshal this year, in 2021, last year. And so, folks can read up about, some of the work he's been doing over the years. He does bring fundraising skills. Now, this board defines the fundraising that we're looking for as somebody who actually works for a funder, but Maury is so respected in the funder community that he is able to really kind of help funders determine which organizations they're going to give money to, those that really want to, work in the space of transgender rights. So those are a lot of the qualifications. And I know that there is sometimes, a lot of people in our community, a lot of people in our community do sometimes get a little confused about the difference between the APT board and this board, the OSA Board of Directors. I think that part of that, comes from my role. And I just thought it would be helpful to clarify that I am the one APT member who is very explicitly, both representing, a board member, but who's also APT board member, and that was by design. The idea was that as a board member, I would be the one person who was, accountable back to the APT meetings and the parents who came to the APT meetings and voiced their, concerns and suggestions and feedback that I could bring back to the board. And that was very much by design. Other members of this board who happen to be parents are not APT members, they're not APT board members. They're often invited to APT meetings with their board hats on. Jason and Josefina are APT parent reps, but APT in that instance was their, sort of like the equivalent of the Alameda election board, right? Kind of help facilitate the election that kind of led to their nomination by the APT to the board, but they had not previously, neither of them had been active members of the APT particularly, any more than any other parent who sometimes comes to meetings, but they were certainly not board members. And now that Maury is has a graduating senior, he also will not be continue to be an APT member. That will be a pretty, you know, clear. He's already off the APT because his student has graduated. So he would be an ex APT member, ex president, like me, you know, like I, well, I guess I would say that I am still very much, you know, in both worlds, but I'm the only one. And so, you know, I think sometimes people get concerned about the, you know, what appears to be a lot of overlap between the two organizations, but actually it's just, you know, that in our society, you want something done, you ask a busy person. And so a lot of us who volunteer a lot, right? You know, volunteer for the equity committee, volunteer for the POC, volunteer for this and that. And I think that that might be some of the source of why folks get confused about the two different organizations that's come up in this board meeting before. And so I just want to maybe help clarify if there's any concern that Maury is coming in with an APT lens, having been the former co-chair, that the structure doesn't allow it. You know, that he's going to have to resign from the APT.
Thank you, Wei-Ling. Yeah, appreciate it.
I think we need someone to mute their mic. Other board comments, discussion? So I think we do have some public comment now. Steve Borick for public comment.
Yes, thanks, Josefina. I just like to encourage the board to consider the discussions that you've had with the leadership team on this matter this week. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Do we have any other public comment on this item? Mr. Oz and also Karen Morfin, in that order.
Yeah, I just want to second what Steve said and just connect with the senior leadership team is amazing. We're here, I was talking to Dwayne at some point, just we're here working 8 to 10 hour days together with amazing synergy in a way I haven't seen in my entire time at this school. We're exhausting ourselves to create a platform for the school to be successful in the fall. We've shared our perspective on nominations, and we just want to make sure that it's taken into consideration. I want to make sure that this team, who is an asset to this school in every which way, has spoken very clearly. I hope you all consider the perspective that's been shared.
Karen Morfin?
Yeah, I want to share also my lens. I want you guys to really consider this with, yes, feedback from everyone, but also neutrality. And also think about what we bring to the table. I know, Maury has been part of uncomfortable conversations, and I don't want the uncomfortable conversations to mislead a vote. I want you to really look at the source of those conversations and where the root of the problem has been and why, in which, you know, not only Maury, but many of us have been vocal about. I also want you to really consider him as a activist, as a transgender, well-known in the community. He brings other lens that you, as the board, you may not have. So think about, again, that diversity, that, and that struggle that comes from being part of a community that quite honestly is in fact rejected by all races, right? He brings that lens and that diverse lens. You know, I'm not accusing the board of being, you know, discriminatory in any way, so don't take my comment that way, but I just want you to understand what he would bring to the table in terms of in terms of his lens as LGBTQ+ candidate, advocate, and respect within the community, and plus the fundraising aspect of it. Again, I just want neutrality, and I think we have lacked that in many times. I think we need to make decisions with on a cold mind sometimes. But I just wanted to say that, and I just want to say that I fully support Maury for board, as he has no other ties to the parent community at OSA.
Thank you, Karen. I think we have Dolores Thompson and then Kayla Scepter.
Hi. I just wanted to echo what Mike and Steve said about the leadership team and how we are really working hard to bring OSA back to that school that we all love and have cherished for so many years. Getting everybody on one accord has not been hard. I mean, has not been easy. But I think, you know, knowing that the body follows the head, we're on one accord, and we would just like you to consider what we talked about in regards to the board. I would deeply appreciate your consideration. I think it's vital in us moving forward on one accord. Thank you.
Thank you, Kayla.
Hi, all. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak. I just wanted to speak on having been a part of the process of some of like the restorative conversations that have happened with our families, and specifically our Black families, in regards to like their relationships with other members of our family community. And just feeling welcomed and feeling a part of and feeling like they belong to this OSA community. And so I'm feeling, I'm worried that while I think that Maury is a great candidate in himself, I'm worried about the relationship of our Black families and how that will make them feel included or excluded from this community. I'm not sure that I've said this like in the best way possible, but that is really what I have top of mind.
Sorry, thank you, Dwayne. We have Romy Douglas and then Katie Zog.
Hi, everyone. I just want to say really quickly that I appreciate greatly that the board, has appointed the senior leadership committee. It's something new for us, and I have observed them working so well together and really creating a whole new energy at the school and a positive community at the school. And I would encourage the board to give their suggestion and recommendation, just give some credence and some weight to their opinion that they've provided to the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Romy. Sarah or Dice? I'm sorry, Katie and then Sarah.
Hi, thank you. I'm actually in a car at my nephew's graduation, so I'm gonna leave the camera off, but I just wanna also reiterate, we have such a momentum going with this team of six, and I've been on many different leadership models at OSA, and just the energy and trust in this group, I think is paving a way for a new relationship with the board, therefore just engagement with our community, and ask that we continue that in a positive way and that we're heard and at least considered in this process. Thanks.
Okay, Sarah.
Hi, thank you. As the director of the special education department at OSA, I saw firsthand the hurt and am still kind of working with families around the mistrust and everything that happened with the walkout. A lot of our students that were accused were in special education. And I also just want to echo what the senior leadership team has shared. And right now we are in such an amazing place with those families to have been building that trust back and wanting them to get involved in these groups like the APT and bringing us closer together as one. And I just really hope that the board takes into consideration like what we've all shared and how we would love to keep this momentum going and not kind of take us backwards with those communities and those families that have taken, you know, a lot of time of in our energy to like bring back into the OSA community. We would hate to like for them to feel like they're now having to put up walls again because of this vote.
Okay, I think that is all of the public comment. I don't see anybody else. Okay, so back to board. David Smith.
We have one. Yep.
Hi, everybody. I'm David Smith. Just entering my 19th year at OSA, I just want to echo and support the messaging that the senior leadership has put forward. I would definitely concur that I've seen a lot of different leadership structures also at OSA, and I'm really optimistic about how this team is working together and the momentum we're creating. And so I just really wish the board can make sure to fully review that suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Do we have any more board comment? Our board discussion?
I guess I have to say that I'm feeling a little confused by this conversation. And I'm not really sure where the disagreement lies, because I really do care a lot about this leadership team. And I see how effective you are and what a good team you make, and fully supported this structure for this school. And all of those things are true. And I do want to see our board expand. I think we, you know, covered that kind of consensus at the very beginning with Jason and Dwayne's presentation, that we all would like to, you know, fill every gap we have in terms of the board members we bring on board, both now and in the future. You know, that developing the board is important to all of us, that we want this board to be welcoming to anyone who wants to join, parents, non-parents, Black parents specifically who are members of the OSA community, you know, would be welcome onto this board. And so I think that's all, you know, I don't see much disagreement there. APT is a separate issue. You know, I'm maybe that's kind of a different meeting that, you know, at least, with my APT hat on, I can clearly say APT is willing to have, but that's different than this board. And Maury would be joining as a member of this board. And so I guess I'm a little bit confused, because it seems like I might have missed a meeting, but I'm happy to be part of any meetings in the future where some of these issues get heard and fixed, if there needs to be fixing. And, you know, I'm not exactly sure where Maury fits into that, which is the question before us, but I'm sure he would be, you know, very much willing to be part of those conversations as well. I mean, one thing I forgot to mention when I was giving his accolades is that, you know, as a social worker, as somebody who has experience in working in community, you know, he's been one of the bridge builders. You know, I've seen those efforts really clearly. And so, you know, that seems to be an asset too, my perspective.
Other board discussion or board comments? Yes, Jason?
I do just want to add, I know Maury and have worked with Maury through his role in APT and as a fellow parent, and know him to be, you know, not someone who is, you know, inconsiderate or has done anything that I think to be controversial. That said, I do hear the comments that have come from staff, the comments that have come from our leadership team, and some of the concerns that have been raised. I don't think Maury would want to be in a position where it's a controversial move, where it's seen as being something that sows distrust or sows division. I would recommend that we have a conversation on the governance committee in regards to how we might have some of these conversations that clearly need to happen between our school and our APT and address some of these concerns. Also thinking about that separation where it sounds to me like a lot of the concerns and issues right now that may or may not be happening between some of our team and the APT have bled over into a reflection of Maury because of his past role there. And we need to make sure that we delineate that any person that's on this board aside from Wai Ling, especially if you're a former parent, would not be playing a role on both boards in that situation. So I know that I do know that that's something that would be a firm commitment. That said, you know, I've heard lots of comments so far, and you know, I don't think Maury would want to be in a position where it's seen as being controversial or sowing division. So I'd be glad to withhold my vote and have us wait so we can have further discussion on the governance committee.
Thanks, Jason. I would just say, well, in terms of just kind of just following kind of the process, I think that could be a motion. That's what I believe, because we're doing something different from where we started. Sure. Josefina, I don't know if you concur or not, but yeah.
Sure. I guess I would just motion, given that we've already had a vote, I would motion that we proceed with looking at the next candidate on the slate.
I will second that.
All right, so then the motion on the table is to take up Sorrel Riano Tsui. Correct me, Jason, on the pronunciation.
I think it's Tsui.
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 Tsui. Tsui. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you made a motion? Oh, I needed a motion for this candidate.
I'll second.
Thank you. No, you made the motion.
Oh.
So I need a second now.
Almost. Did we? I just want to make sure. We just sort of tracking for record. So we have a motion and a second to sort of table the conversation with Maury for the reasons Jason mentioned. But I don't know if we actually got confirmation, you know, from the larger party, Josefina.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we had two motions kind of at the same time. So
right. Exactly.
Okay. So let's go back to the first one. The first one would be to table Maury Reardon. And I think we also have to, you know, well, let's take the motion. We have a motion. Do we have a second for that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I made the motion. I believe Dwayne seconded.
That is correct in terms of just tabling. Correct, the Maury's candidacy at today for this evening.
Okay. Do we have any public comment before we go to the board discussion? Okay, I don't hear any board discussion. I don't see any public comment. I think in terms of board discussion, let me just say that I would support that, but also that I think that we have to move. If we move forward in this way, we have to recognize that Maury may not want to continue his candidacy, and we might lose him. We probably will lose him. And I just want to be clear that my position is not that Maury would not be a good candidate for this board. My position is that there are issues that we need to address that are unfortunately associated with Maury, that and not Maury as a candidate, not Maury as a person, but that are associated with the APT that need to be addressed. So that's why I abstained. That's the reason why I abstained in my vote. So is there a board discussion? Any more board discussion? No more board discussion. Okay.
No, I do hear that there are issues that need to be discussed and obviously fully support and commit to being part of any of those discussions, and you know, would have liked to have been part of the discussions before today. So this being asked to vote on this feels very awkward and unfair, not really understanding what the issue is, and Maury not really understanding what the issue is with his candidacy. And so, you know, I'm gonna have to vote no for the postponement for those reasons.
Okay, thank you, Wei-Ling, for that.
And Josefina, I'll just put, just for the record, again, I echo what Jason said. You know, given just the amount of time and discussion we've had just right now, to have someone, I mean, I just, you know, I do know Maury. I just don't know if he would, like I say, be comfortable coming in just given just the uncertainty. And that's kind of where I say, I think there's a lot of uncertainty that needs to be landed out. But I think through that process, as you stated, we may lose him as a candidate. But I just feel better to do it with clarity, you know, before just doing something that may create awkwardness and then maybe still lose that potential candidate, given, you know, the uncertainty that, you know, that we have right now. So I just want to put that out there before we go to vote.
Thank you for that, Dwayne. Anybody, any other board comment? Okay, so let's call the vote on the motion to table this Maury's candidacy. That was just the motion. So let's take the roll call vote. Wei-Ling Hoover?
No.
Thank you. Dwayne Walton?
Yes.
Jason Ryman?
Yes.
And I vote yes on that too, Josefina Alvarado Mena, for the record. Let's go to the next candidate. So now I will entertain a motion for Sorrell.
I motion that we vote on Sorrell Ryan Oswee as a candidate for the board.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I will second, yeah. I will second that.
Okay, thank you, Dwayne. We'll go to public comment. Do we have public comment? Okay, no public comment. Board discussion on this candidate? No board discussion. Okay, so let's take the roll call vote. Dwayne Walton?
Yes.
Thank you. Wei-Ling Hoover?
Yes.
Thank you. Jason Ryman?
Yes.
Thank you. And I will also vote yes, Josefina Alvarado Mena. I think in closing this item, I would like to suggest that the OSA leadership team engage the APT in conversation about the current issues that have been alluded to are stated in this meeting, and that be done in as timely a manner as possible. Also, I think that as if I can speak for the board, that the board would have appreciated having this conversation prior to this evening. And so also to think about how to like build this process into your future planning and work plan so that we can have more thorough and deeper conversations whenever needed in a context that can facilitate a positive resolution, you know, all the way around. I don't know if other board members have comments before we move to the next item.
I do want to add, just because I think what you said really resonates with me, Josefina, because I do want to add that, you know, when people apply, we're a volunteer board. And, you know, when people put their name in the hat, oftentimes there's a lot of discussion, usually convincing, that needs to happen for people to take time out to be, to volunteer to be members of the board. So far, we haven't had people jumping over each other to volunteer to spend time to work for the school. And I know that Maury put his name in the hat because he wants to help the school. And I don't think it's a good feeling for someone who's attempting to volunteer to be put through this type of process in a public setting. That's part of the reason I'm hoping that we can have these conversations in other settings where everyone can talk. We can vet candidates through the process we've outlined with the governance committee, and our leadership team is welcome to attend. And I believe, Dwayne, have they been invited in the past to the meetings?
Yeah, so of the six leadership, you know, individuals, we had a third, you know, participate in the governance committee, just for the record.
Yeah, so just making sure that like Josefina is saying, we take that process seriously so that we can make sure that people don't put themselves in a position where they're volunteering and then put out in what could potentially be an embarrassing predicament or something that is controversial and they're at the center of it. So I just wanted to throw that out there, just my own thoughts.
Thank you, Jason. Anybody else before we move to the LCAP budget? Wyling?
Can we just let Karen speak in public comment? I know it's out of order, but
oh, I'm sorry. Meeting and- okay.
Thanks, Wyling.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Karen.
I want to echo what Jason said. I think this is a clear example of the lack of communication OSA has with the community. We are always in a reactory items, whether it's the walkout, whether it's this nomination, whether it's calling all of our Black boys out in a letter from the ED, whatever the situation is, it's always a reaction. It's always, there is never communication beforehand. That alone, it's unacceptable from leadership. That fact alone, that we have been communicating in other items for a year, and not once, neither in the equity task force or in private meetings or in a one-on-one, have we heard anything from this leadership. We did not hear anything about the walkout for almost 6 months. I sat here and I have records of both Maury, other members of the community, and I demanding a letter of apology from the ED for calling out our Black students. No one is talking about it. I have records from these public meetings when we advocated for the falsely accused as well. I myself brought this topic, even when it was not an agenda, and no one followed up ever, neither for the letter demanding an apology, nor for the inclusion of our Black and Brown families, or for the people who were being affected by some of the policies in the disabled community at OSA. And again, it's that lack of communication from leadership. If anything, you should at least communicated with us that there were issues. You should at least spend the resources that you ask us to fundraise for you, for the for equity purposes, for community purposes, and for the viability of OSA. Not once did you reach out about this. How does that put you as a leader? I just want you to think about it. You reached out to us for many other things, and not once did you raise this with the APT board as a whole. This is an embarrassment on your communication skills, and this is one of the reasons why our family was gonna leave this year.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you for your comment. So we're gonna move this. There is obviously a lot of work that has to be done. And we will continue to, you know, as the board oversee, you know, the team towards getting, you know, to, like I said, a positive resolution, a constructive resolution. I think there's a lot of learnings here that we will be applying in the future. But we need to move forward on this agenda. I don't want to lose our quorum before we do our budget approvals, because we have some important mandates and timelines that are coming up here. So let's move this to the LCAP budget item. So who is going to lead this?
I'll lead it. I don't think there was much to discuss because we've gone through it in detail. So it comes down to if there's questions from the board. And if not, I think it's just a voting item at this point.
All right, then I'll take a motion to accept the LCAP budget.
A motion that we accept the LCAP budget.
Thank you, and we need a second.
Second.
Thank you, Eileen. Any board discussion? No board discussion. Do we have any public comment on the LCAP budget? No public comment. So let's go ahead with the roll call vote. Dwayne Walton?
Yes.
Thank you. Wiling Huber?
Yes.
Thank you. Jason Ryman?
Yes.
Thank you. And I will also vote yes. Josefina Alvarado Mena for the record. So let's go now to, I think, our last agenda item, the OSA budget.
I'll leave that.
Hey. Oh, you want to start, Mike?
Go yeah, ahead. If Romy could put the slideshow up, I have a couple slides, and then I'm going to have Susan walk you through the budget. This equally is not going to be the most extensive discussion. We've done quite a bit of work leading up to this, but I just want to give a quick overview, let you guys glance through the budget that we'll be submitting, and let you all vote. So go ahead, take next slide. So balancing the budget, we didn't quite get there, so maybe that's a misnomer, but we came pretty close. As we previously discussed, these are the areas that we looked at. We were as high as a $1.45 million deficit. We've brought it just under $200,000. This is staffing efficiencies, increased fundraising goals, operational savings, our new summer arts academy, reducing legal expenses. There's other things that are happening too at the state level, as you guys know, but the budget work presenting is a very conservative one, not assuming the one-time funds that we expect to come through. We want to be very careful and not make assumptions until we actually see those come through. Next slide, please. So strategy here. Is there anything more on this slide? Maybe. Oh, there we go. So this is what I was saying. The California state surplus says there's going to be there's indicators that we're going to see substantial increase to COLA. I think we have a 6.56 right now. They're saying it could be as high as 10 or above. The one-time LCFF is high. Susan, correct me if I'm wrong, but somewhere around 1,300 to 1,500 per ADA, right. Which that puts somewhere between 1 and 1.5 million for OSA, potentially even higher. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves, as I said, but none of this is assumed in the budget that we're going to present to you tonight. Go ahead, next slide. So key considerations, we want to make sure that we show where our priorities are here. The following things are embedded within our budget. Implementing the new salary schedule, very substantial new salary schedule for our union members. We were also able to, and I appreciate the board's support in this initiative, provide a pay increase for the non-union employees. The rate of inflation is making it very difficult to live here. JEDI priorities are considered in all of the budgetary decisions that are being made. $218,000 is directly allocated to the JEDI budget specifically. This is something Kayla and I are working on in partnership. Involves staff trainings, leadership trainings, increase to step it up. I'm excited to share. I don't think it's premature that we're welcoming back Kava Menzies, and she's taken on a few functions. I'm meeting with her tomorrow. I see your smile, Jason. I'm equally excited. In fact, I have chills as I say it. She's going to come back for a few different roles, one of which is going to be back to the program she started, Step It Up. And welcoming a new AP and Dean of Students. In trying to figure out where we could have savings on the leadership level, there was discussions around whether we could afford the AP and Dean of Students. We decided to shuffle in other areas, given what we've experienced, and really focus on student culture. And we're excited of the candidates that we're seeing for each of these roles. So then I think with that, I'll hand it over. Oh, and providing the new facilities for visual art and digital media. Met with the fire department today. A lot of everything, every day seems to be a battle to try to move the school forward, and so many barriers in the way. That space, assuming we can get it all to fall into place, is an amazing improvement for the school. And we were able to make that happen all within a budget that is very close to balanced. So I'll hand it over to you, Susan, if you don't mind.
No, not at all. So let me see if I can share. Can you enable screen sharing really quick? Thank you. Okay, so we'll get to the actual alternative form in a moment, but I just wanted to do a summary just to kind of make it a little more visual for you guys. So if you can see my screen okay, just wanted to go over kind of the general assumptions for the budget. It's based on enrollment of 800, an ADA of 94%, so funded ADA at 752. Total revenues that are included in this budget are just under 12 million. Like Mike said, the calculator, we're using the 6.56. We do expect it to be at least 10. We're hearing even higher than that potentially. Hopefully we'll get some news on that next week, but we just wanted to go with kind of what we know right now. So 6.56 is what's in here. As far as the federal revenue, we're expecting to expend the rest of our ESSER $3 completely next year. And of course, we have our title funds, nutrition and special ed money in our federal revenue. With the state revenues, we have our mandate block grant, lottery nutrition, also the CTE revenue, and we will be spending our A to G learning loss money in this budget. Local revenue, I know we've talked a lot about it based on 21-22 actuals. And as Mike mentioned, does have the summer school program revenue included in local revenue. What's not included, as Mike mentioned, the one-time discretionary block grant. So $1,375 to $1,500. We're hearing it may even be higher than $1,500. So again, on the low side, we're thinking it could be $1 million, could be substantially more than that also. So none of that's included. And also, you know, we're still kind of holding out for some 21-22 COVID-19 ADA relief. I know there's still several proposals on the table for that also. So, you know, that potentially more good news once the state budget is adopted. So total expenditures in this budget, just over $12 million. Mike kind of mentioned salaries. We did increase our medical contributions in this budget just to account for increases. I know that your policy doesn't renew quite yet, so we put a cushion in there because we anticipate those will probably go up. And then as far as your books and supplies and other operating expenditures, we're meeting every single week. So we're just looking at every single object code and, you know, what's it really going to cost? What can we cost? What can we shift? What can we reduce? So we've fine-tooth combed that very thoroughly. We did also increase the general liability insurance amount just to kind of put some extra in there because that policy hasn't renewed either. So all that said, we're currently projecting a deficit of just under $176,000.
And Susan, we also had good news from the district today too. We should probably share that as well.
Yes, so I'm gonna stop sharing, share again, because it usually works better for me when I do it that way. But I did your alternative form. Min likes to approve that ahead of time. Where's my share screen button? Sorry. Oh, thank you. And he has given his full approval of this. He considers this the final copy. So he's just waiting for signatures at this point. So can you see my screen okay? Again, all right. So this is the actual alternative form. This basically takes your budget, puts it into the format that's required by the CD and OUSD. So same thing, we've got your estimated current year actuals, and then this is your current year budget. So that's the budget we were talking about. We just break it out by, you know, all your resources and then your unrestricted and restricted budgets. So here's your 11.7 in revenue, revenue totals. And same thing with all of your certificated salaries, non-certificated salaries, employee benefits, books and supplies. Here's all your 5,000s, 2.3 million. You have a little bit of depreciation. You'll see that go away. I think you have one more slight year after that. Your depreciation expense is almost gone, which is great. And there's the deficit of 175,817. So we project your ending fund balance at the end of 21-22 at 5.5 million. And so then you can see it carrying forward here. So at the end of next year, we were projected to be around 5.3 based on all the assumptions that we're using right now. And then we do have your 3% required reserve built into this as well. And then going forward, I'll just go one tab over. So then when we go to this tab, we just show your totals for 23-24 and 24-25. So I'll just scroll down and we'll kind of show you that where we're sitting right now with those projections. So currently, and I know we know a lot can change 2 years from now, but we're looking at a deficit of 364 and then 146 in 24-25. Any thoughts, questions? I know that's kind of a lot really quickly.
So we have to take board comments public comment first, and then we'll go to board questions and discussion. So or do we have any public comment on the budget presentation? Okay, I don't see any public comment. So let's go ahead and go to board questions and comments.
Just one for me, and this is Duane Josefina. And when I heard about the employee salary, there was an increase. Will that increase just based on living, or was there something over and above just living expenses that played into the?
For the union, there was the new salary schedule, and then the agreed upon COLA of, I think it was 2.5.
Got it. Thanks, Mike. That answered it. Okay.
And, you know, in numbers, it resulted in somewhere between 15% and 20% increase for all union members.
Thank you. Okay, I recall that.
Other questions, comments? I'm not sure I got what the good news was. I mean, specifically, was there good news?
Oh, that the district has already looked.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Our budget and is in support of it and had no objection or no questions. Though it is not a final budget, they acknowledge that. We like to run a draft by them first to see if there's any red flags. There were no red flags.
Yeah. Okay. And then as previously discussed, we will be providing a memo. They like us to outline your local revenue, but we're also going to kind of give some narrative about current year as well.
Okay, thank you. Any other board comments or questions about this budget presentation or the budget itself? Okay, I don't see any, so I will entertain a motion to adopt this budget.
So moved.
Thank you, Wei-Ling. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second, yeah.
Thank you, Duane. Any other board discussion before we call the roll call? No? Okay, so let's start with Jason Ryman.
Yes.
Thank you. Wei-Ling Huber.
Yes.
Thank you. Duane Walton.
Yes.
Thank you. And I vote yes as well, Josefina Alvarado Mena. And I think that is our last agenda item. Let me just take a quick look at this. Yes. Okay. So we are good to adjourn the meeting. Let me thank Carol Suarez, our new student member, again for being with us through this meeting. And we look forward to working with you in August. We are on recess for July. So our next full regular board meeting will be scheduled in August. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.